So what are some of those skills that need to be developed before a group could run one of these skillfully and not just fall back into the same sort of public meeting patterns?
Well, you firstly got to be prepared to give power away and not know what's going to happen. And nothing dreadful ever happens. It's always a very sweet surprise, you know, that a group of randomly selected people walk in the room and you think, oh my God, what's going to happen here? And then at the end of it, they hand down these fantastic informed recommendations. Annie mentioned that notion of collective intelligence, and I think that's what you find in these spaces, fantastic capacity. There's quite a bit of work being done on diversity in deliberation and how it actually creates better outcomes. You know, the more cognitively diverse, the better. So it's counterintuitive, I know, but you actually don't want a group of smart people in the room. You want a cognitive mix in the room, and it's those wonderful naive questions that actually spark fantastic outcomes. So you've got to trust the people in the room, and they are worthy of trust, the randomly selected group. But I think process design is crucial to this, and that's why I think adult learning people are fantastic at this, because they understand curriculum design, learning design, and I think once you know about that, how people learn, you know, the banking model is a myth, that it's about what people bring into the room and then how they spark off each other. So it's very experiential, this work. That is, learning is very experiential. It's not didactic. People are coming in and we are exploiting what do they know already? What do they still need to know? There's a tremendous spirit of inquiry. So it's all about questioning. There are experts that you draw into it, but sometimes the people in the room decide who those experts are. Or you might have a steering committee that decides who those experts are, depending upon the issue. So it's a spirit of inquiry. Adult learning people know about that, and you need to hand over the development of the recommendations to those people. So it's just skillful, it's learning facilitation, I think, that's the key to it.
Right. So let's jump to the really big issues. I mean, things like human-induced climate change. How are we going to respond in Australia? What could you imagine deliberative democracy could contribute to the, you know, level of debate and policy response, because currently, you know, we're really failing badly.
It's one of the tragedies of my life, the last election, when Julia Gillard announced a citizens' assembly on climate change, and I woke up that morning thinking all my dreams had come true, and it lasted about 24 hours and then everyone dumped on it, you know. Understandably, I think it was a political decision, the timing was lousy, but actually that kind of process, had it happened at the time that Rudd first started talking about it, in line with some kind of parliamentary or expert committee, would have been beautiful. You know, to have had a citizen assembly running in parallel with an expert panel would have been a very interesting way to handle that issue. We have convened a climate summit in New South Wales. So we worked with the Nature Conservation Council, worked with 10 different councils, randomly selected people, trained facilitators who worked locally with those people, brought them together for a New South Wales climate summit, and those people made fantastic recommendations. And they were handed to the government. And I thought it was a very interesting project that could be rolled out nationally. There's been a fantastic global project around climate change. Worldwide Views on Global Warming ran in 36 different countries throughout the world. It was timed to coincide with Copenhagen. It was, you know, they all came together synchronously at the end of it all, and there was, one of those was in Australia, thousands of people involved. So we've already done climate change work. We know we can make it inclusive. We know we can make it deliberative. We don't know how to make it influential, because governments at this stage are not listening.
So how do you keep the sort of vested interests, you know, quieter, they're not having a disproportionate influence here?
We want the vested interests. We want all the barrows in the room. We want everyone to wheel their barrow in the room. It doesn't matter how many barrows you get in the room. There's a nervousness, a skittishness around this that I think is somewhat misplaced. So We convened a citizens' jury on container deposit legislation, and the environmental groups were very anxious, saying, oh, the packaging industry, the beverage industry, they're going to come in. And in fact, the packaging industry and the beveraging industry boycotted it at the 11th hour, the night before the citizens' jury, as a way of sabotaging the process. And, we had to kind of modify it at the 11th hour. We created a different process, made a library of stuff available, had independent people. We couldn't let the environmentalists speak because it would have been unbalanced. And the people in the room, of course, wanted to hear from the packaging industry and the beverage industry. They want to hear from the people who are not in the room. And the environmentalists came along watching it, not participating in it because of that problem that we encountered. And their cynicism turned to adoration at the end of it. Like, wow, that's what a randomly selected group of people would do, because obviously they recommended container deposit legislation because people have tremendous common sense. They usually go for recommendations that they're just sensible. You know, they don't come up with radical ones. And if you get people coming in proselytising and making a lot of noise, as they did with a consensus conference on GMO, Monsanto did that, the group becomes very suspicious and very cynical about, you know, this stuff coming at them in a very biased way. They actually want to deal with the issue. They want to deal with the facts. They don't want to deal with all of that. They're very good at, you know, playing the ball and not the man, to use that sexist language. You know, they stay focused on the issue very well. And they will ask who's not in the room with container deposit legislation. They were terribly concerned that there were no aged pensioners in the room, and they didn't know what the impact would be on that. So they'll go out, they'll keep saying, we need to ask about that. We need someone who knows about that. With a consensus conference, the steering committee that I was on, we forgot to give them an ethicist as someone talking about GMOs. They insisted on hearing from an ethicist, so we went out and found one. So the group has tremendous intelligence, you know, and a capacity to have all of their questions answered and to be able to sift through, you know, the nonsense. Mm. They're very good at it.
Mm. So how do you get your people? I mean, how do you go about recruiting? Cold call, you know, email? Well, what sort of process?
With the Australian Citizens Parliament, we had an advertising agency. A friend is heads an advertising agency, and we wanted... The trick is not to get your invitation. It has to be a personal invitation. And you don't want the invitation thrown in the bin. So you just have to make sure that it's convincing enough. So we actually sent what looked like a wedding invitation, which I thought was very inspired. So it was embossed paper in an embossed envelope. And we had two co-chairs, Fred Chaney and Luigi O'Donoghue, and we felt that they were people who had sufficient gravitas in the community for this to be, you know, wow, Fred and Luigi are inviting me to Canberra. You know, it looked rather impressive. And I'm sure that's why we got a 35% response rate. But I know that you and I ran a parent jury at Lismore Heights Primary School. And in that instance, small community, it was much easier. So we had the database of all the parents. We randomly selected one or two, I think, from each year. And we made a phone call. You know, you have been invited. You are representing that year. And these were people, some of them had never stepped inside the school before, which was a bit shocking for us to find out. But because you're inviting them and they are the person for year one, it has, you know, there's a tremendous sense of responsibility. Gosh, if I don't go, then year one isn't being represented. So they come along. And that reminds me that in Lismore, when we ran a citizens' jury, many of the people that I rang, it was an older population, and there was a very high incidence of hip replacements and knee replacements, I discovered. And they would say, oh, I've just had a hip replacement, darling, and I can't come along, but there's a lovely young man next door who would be much better than me. He's very educated. He'd know how to do it. So you need to spend some time saying, actually, no, you were selected, and you know more about this street than the young man next door. You've probably lived there for 50 years, and so there's a bit of coaching, a bit of, you know, coaxing, a bit of nudging, but it actually doesn't take that much. I think people are so thrilled to have been asked. They usually say, nobody's ever asked me before. You know, they just see public announcements for public meetings. Nobody's ever said, Katrina Shields, you have been selected. You have to come on behalf of your street. That's different to me than reading about something in a newspaper. So don't underestimate the power of the personal invitation.
Okay. I think that's right on time.
Good.
So thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. I wonder if I could just add three things. If anyone's interested in studying this, I do teach a course on dialogue, deliberation and public engagement. But more importantly, if you have an interest in any of this, there are two websites. One is an activedemocracy.net website that I maintain, and one is newdemocracy.com.au. Both of them have fantastic resources, case studies and so on. So if you want to know more, I'd really encourage you to go and visit those websites. Thanks very much for listening to us.
Thank you.